You are listening to We Saw the Devil, an investigative and conversational true crime podcast that deep dives into fascinating criminal cases that are solved, unsolved, or ongoing. From America's Lori Vallow to Germany's Armin Mivas, we examine and discuss the world's most shocking cases. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to follow us online. Check us out at WeSawTheDevil.com and WeSawTheDevil on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And don't forget, you can become part of the show by backing us on Patreon. Hello everyone, you are listening to We Saw the Devil. This is Robin, and today I'm going to be covering five fast cases of April Fool's Day pranks that went horribly wrong, some with deadly consequences. And I've never really been one to do themed episodes because I feel like they're really overdone, like Christmas, Thanksgiving, Halloween. They're beaten to death, no pun intended. And I hadn't really heard of any April Fool's Day episodes, so I wanted to do something a little outside the box. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I freaking despise April Fools. Like, it actively pisses me off. And thankfully, I haven't been pranked too much. It's one thing to get a little bit of a Rickroll, but some people plan this shit out for months in advance, just in an effort to terrorize someone. And I sincerely do not get it. I don't get it. I don't even have the motivation to get up to change the TV, even if the remote is just across the room. Like, that's just too much effort. That is too much planning. Work smarter, not harder, guys. The worst thing I think I've ever done is someone way back made me really super mad, and I signed them up for a Jehovah's Witness mailing list. No offense. Oh, by the way, no offense to any Jehovah's Witnesses or like listeners that I may have, but your organization spends a lot of money on its print literature, and they send that shit out like candy. I wonder if the people who send it out, if they're like interns or lower people at the church, I don't know, but like, do they work in sweatshop conditions? Or maybe it's even like the toy countdown from Elf. You must complete 987 mailers by 3 p.m. today. I don't know, but it's pretty freaking miraculous how much mail they will send you if you just sign up on their mailing list. Bless their hearts. I did do one April Fool's Day prank once when I was like 10 years old. So as everyone knows, I'm back in Nashville in a little suburban neighborhood and I live in a cul-de-sac. And when I was a kid, everyone knew each other. I don't know. I find that people have similar experiences. Like 10, 15, 20 years ago, neighbors knew neighbors. Everyone, you know, especially those who had children, knew each other, grilled out, had 4th of July's, you know, birthday parties, Christmas parties. Well, one family on our street that we were all close to moved away, and this really shitty, mean family moved in. Like husband, wife, two kids. The kids were like 4 and 9, and they were absolute nightmares. Like, these kids were mean. I was around 10 years old, and the little girl was like 8 or 9. I was 10, and she once chased me with a brick. She was trying to tag me with a brick, throw like an actual brick at me. Horrible little crotch goblins. I remember on April Fool's one year, they were out of town. So me, and I kid you not, two adult women, and these women were in their upper 20s, we toilet papered and egged their house. And I thought it was hilarious. My parents were obviously pretty disappointed. And looking back now, it speaks volumes that these like mid-20s professional women, one was a teacher, by the way, TP'd a house with a child, that child being me. But I digress. I have participated once in April Fool's prank. And if you guys have any good ones, or if you're proud of your April Fool's resume, let me know. Shoot us a social media message or YouTube or Instagram and let me know what you guys did that you're proud of. But suffice it to say, April Fool's is not a favorite. And some of these cases that I'll be covering today, I can only assume that it's also not their favorite. So let's go ahead and get into it and cover these five cases. First, we're going to Romania, April 1st, 2020. In a Romanian issue of Playboy magazine, the cover had the headline, "How to Beat Your Wife Without Leaving Traces." Just holy shit, wow, right? The article was written by a fictitious police officer and gave step-by-step instructions on how to literally physically abuse your wife without leaving marks and getting caught. The supposed win from doing that? Great sex. Because of course. The citizens of Romania were obviously, and rightfully so, incredibly disgusted by the attempted joke and took to the streets. 51 international organizations supported them, and hundreds of angry protesters marched through Bucharest carrying signs like, "Domestic violence is not a joke, it is a problem." And the message itself that Playboy Romania put out is utterly vile, but especially so because it was in the wake of the fact that the year before, in 2019, more than half of Romania's 110 murdered women were killed by their husbands, boyfriends, or male relatives. U.S. Playboy didn't really appreciate the shitty press, and I mean, okay, let's keep it real. I don't know how many of you guys have been watching Secrets of Playboy, but I have. And it was just beyond eye-opening. I mean, seeing firsthand experience from the women who dated Hugh Hefner, lived with Hugh Hefner, lived in the mansions. I mean, it's just eye-opening. Even though we all kind of knew subconsciously or without discussing it that really horrible things happened there, hearing these women discuss their firsthand experiences with it, it's just absolutely vile. I mean, it's not much of a secret that Playboy gave zero fucks about women's safety in the first place. I mean, they were all in the business of violating women's boundaries and women's safety. But in any case, Christine Hefner, the CEO of Playboy at the time, released a statement that said, quote, "We apologize in the strongest terms to Romanian women for any anguish this ill-conceived, quote, satire may have caused." Pretty crappy joke, and I don't know who in their right mind would have published that. Up next, we are going to Shanghai, China. Back in 2013, one April Fool's prankster paid for it with his life. 27-year-old Lin Sinhao lived with his roommate, 27-year-old Wang Yang. They both attended Fudan University, a prestigious university there in Shanghai. Lin claimed that he decided to prank Wang on April Fool's after hearing Wang formulating an elaborate prank that he planned to do to someone else. Lin's supposed idea was to poison Wang's water with NDMA, an odorless liquid that was once used to make rocket fuel. Lin was a chemist and was very well versed in the chemical. He had written countless articles about NDMA that were even published in peer-reviewed journals. This chemical can be deadly and is found in very trace amounts in products like cured meats, cheese, and bacon. Well, Wang got immediately sick and began to suffer from organ failure almost immediately. Lin did not come forward to admit what he had done. He would visit Wang in the hospital, talk to police, acted as perplexed as everyone else. It was only on day 9 when one of their roommates realized and remembered that Lin had written at length about a poison. Did the police follow up on that lead? They found the NDMA in a water dispenser at the apartment. 30 grams of it. More than 10 times the legal dose to kill an adult Wang's size. Lin was immediately arrested. 16 days later, Yang's kidneys, heart, and lungs literally shut down, and he passed away. Again, just 16 days after he had initially ingested that poison. Lin went on trial and was sentenced to death for the murder. He was executed the following year by firing squad in 2014. Actual April Fool's prank or malicious murder? No one will ever know. And this one is pretty much my all-time favorite. Back in 1915, Mrs. Babe Webster, a San Francisco woman, decided to do the absolute unthinkable. She dressed in her husband's tweed suit and walked around downtown San Francisco. The funny part is that this was actually illegal. Police arrested her and she was charged with masquerading in male attire and giving a false name. Why? Because she told the responding officers that her name was Tony Maloney. She went before a judge and told him that she had dressed up as a man as an April Fool's joke. The judge released her, but only on one condition, that she returned to the courthouse the following day dressed in a dress. The story from the April 2nd, 1915 copy of the Oakland Tribune reads, "Tony Maloney, charged with masquerading in male attire, was before police judge Brady today. She admitted that she had given a false name and protested that her appearance in a natty suit of tweeds was a result of an April Fool joke. Quote, 'My husband has my clothes,' declared the prisoner, 'and if you let me go, I will never do it again.' Pressed for her name, she said she was Mrs. Babe Webster of 7th and Webster Streets. 'I want to see how you look in dresses,' declared Judge Brady, who allowed her to go on condition that she return appropriately garbed in feminine attire tomorrow." And I don't know why, but that is probably one of my absolute favorite things I've ever read. And Suit of Natty Tweeds is probably going to be my band name if I ever make one. Next up, we have a story that will make you despise politicians even more than you possibly already do. God knows in 2022, I think we're all hitting our limits, and this is just proving what we already know. Back in 1971, politics were much the same. And Texas Representative Tom Moore of Waco was fed up with his fellow representatives not doing their jobs. He felt that they didn't read or understand the bills that were put before them before voting on them. So he decided to put forth a bill of his own. And it happened to be one that honored Albert DeSalvo. Now, if that name sounds familiar to you, it's because Albert DeSalvo was the freaking Boston Strangler, a notorious serial killer responsible for the deaths of 13 Boston women and an unknown number of rapes. Some of his resolution read, quote, "This compassionate gentleman's dedication and devotion to his work has enabled the weak and the lonely throughout the nation to achieve and maintain a new degree of concern for their future. He has been officially recognized by the state of Massachusetts for his noted activities and unconventional techniques involving population control and applied psychology." Guys, I shit you not, the bill passed unanimously. Every single member of the House of Representatives passed it. Flying colors. Yes. Of course, Representative Moore immediately withdrew the bill, but not before giving one hell of an "I told you so, you useless fuck" speech. Either way, I love him, and he absolutely proved a point, and I 100% wonder that if this were done today, if we wouldn't have the same result. And finally, April Fool's 2021, just last year, 27-year-old Sheriff's Deputy Catherine Stanzial allegedly applied super glue to the plastic cap of Tierston Newhart's water bottle, you know, to basically keep the cap on, making Tierston unable to open it and look really silly while trying to do so. Well, Tierston did in fact get it open and did in fact take a sip from it. Shortly thereafter, Tierston said she tasted a chemical and felt her lips start to glue together and glue shut. So she ran into the bathroom. But by that time, her lips had in fact glued shut. She pulled on her lips and they ended up separating, taking skin with them. And it just became a huge bloody mess. And she was pissed. Tierston Newhart was on the warpath. So Stanzial texted Newhart when she found out. She apologized profusely, just, "I feel absolutely awful. Sorry about the water bottle. I promise it won't happen again. What can I do to, you know, make this okay?" Well, Tierston did not care about any apology because she ended up actually pressing charges. Stanzial was charged with harassment, simple assault, and disorderly conduct. And I tried to find the outcome of this case. Maybe it hasn't actually gone on to court yet. Maybe the charges were dropped. I have no idea, but I'm curious about it though, because it sounds like she was actually fired from the sheriff's department, but still actually works for the county. And what I couldn't believe as I was just like looking at these April Fool's Day cases is that it seems to be a huge day of business for lawyers, for attorneys, like criminal defense attorneys. They actually have a lot of ads right now on different attorneys on like their Facebook pages and Instagram. You know, April Fool's joke, land you in hot water. Don't forget to call us, you know, keep us on hand for our services. So apparently this is a huge, huge thing. I'm just glad that we've moved past the, "I might be, you know, I'm pregnant," April Fool's that was like the norm for a while. That was just absolutely so gross. But here are five cases to get your April Fool's Day started. Love you guys. Don't be wildin' today. I don't have the bail money. Until next crime.